every Arizona homeowner's best friend. Come on in, y'all. Good Saturday morning. We're here live as a part of our mission to become every Arizona homeowner's best friend. We're here to answer any question you might have about your house, home, castle, or cabin. This hour in particular, I've been talking about it for several weeks, that if I could be king for a day, I would make this hour legally mandatory for everyone to listen to, because we're going to get on a topic that I've been on a soapbox for several years, the solar industry. And I know some of you get highly aggravated at my position on the solar industry, and I want to make myself perfectly clear. I am an advocate for solar energy, but I got a real chap spot in my heart about how many in the solar industry operate their business. So we're here this morning with Rosie Certified Solar Experts, Sam Dunbar and Bobby Burnett, both solar integrator designers from Sun Valley Solar. Guys, thanks for coming in and helping me set the record straight.
You're quite welcome. Yeah, thanks for having us.
And Sam, I don't know how I could introduce this topic any better than with a true story of a listener that called me, I want to say it was about 6 months ago. And I mean, for about the last 2 years, my Nextdoor app has just been blowing up with neighbors who are saying, who's this person walking through my neighborhood, opening my service entrance panel, taking pictures of it? And then they show up the next day with a solar proposal. I never called them. I never asked for it. You know, and they would have logos on their vehicles. And that happened to a listener that called me. And he said, Rosie, I've got a situation where I must have absolute guaranteed 365 day a year, 24 hour a day power. It is a life issue for my wife. So I took this invitation from an unsolicited solar person and I got this proposal. And he kind of talked me through a couple components. I said, just stop. That proposal is way off. He said, well, who would you call? And I said, call Sun Valley Solar. And Sam, I think he got a hold of you.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And y'all went, consulted with the man, a house in McCormick Ranch. Yep. And he called me a couple months after y'all finished the installation. And he literally thanked me. I mean, it was a most profound emotional thank you, something along the lines of, you know, you helped save my wife's life. And there are so many bad solar designers out there. I don't know how you guys combat it. I mean, it's a tough black spot on the solar industry.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure is.
So why don't y'all talk about, I mean, and we're going to get to how that happens, but let's start right now. For those of you that are considering solar, why right now in the spring, why this season would it be a good time to consider solar? Who wants to take that?
I'll take it. Okay. I think the prudent issue is the utility company. Both utility companies just had massive rate hikes, and they do it continually, typically year over year. They really hit on peak times. Everybody's familiar with their on peak hours.
Yeah,
I call it the criminal on peak, where they charge you triple for your power during the hottest parts of the day.
Right,
and that's where they hit increases typically. They don't really care about off peak, the cheap off peak, but getting in, you know, right now and right before summer to help offset that expensive on peak, those bills that are coming, because, you know, last year's $400 summer bill, this year it'll be $500. Mm-hmm. So just getting ahead of that, planning for the future, and then protecting yourself from future rate hikes.
Gerard got in early with a question. He says, do the electric providers allow banking of power in the winter where you may use less than you produce and apply those credits forward? I mean, when I have a solar system installed, there's a transition period of the billing and the credits. Talk through that.
Sure. So net metering is a term that's been around for ages in the solar industry, and it still exists with certain utilities on certain plans. And just a for example, SRP here in the Valley. This is where a lot of confusion comes about for folks. There's four different solar plans with SRP
yes.
alone.
Yes.
And two of those are net metered, and the other two are not. And the two that are net metered have demand charges, and the two that are not net metered don't have demand charges. So right there, so we're talking about one utility out of 16 in the state with four different plans. So it snowballs into chaos very quickly of how to understand all this. But to answer your caller's question, depends on his utility. Because if it's APS, they're given 7.5 cents for what you send back. If it's SRP, it could be net metered on this plan or not net metered on that plan. So we have to dig into what utility he has and what plan he wants to look at and why to answer whether or not he'd truly be net metered.
Do y'all have a lot of homeowners that feel like, okay, I'm going to invest in the solar system, and then my power bill is going to go to zero for the rest of my life?
Everybody wants that as a reflex.
Right?
Yes.
And that used to be very attainable, if given roof space being enough, because all it used to take, and I do it at my house, I'm grandfathered into an old plan. I've had solar for over a decade. And all there used to be to it is, as long as at a net level you made as much energy in a year as you used in a year, you would have no bill.
Yeah.
Well, that's changed because both utilities now pretty much dictate that you have to be on an on-peak, off-peak plan if you're not grandfathered on an old solar plan. So given that, the migration, what we've seen is more of a migration to folks focusing, at least when they're being treated respectfully from the solar outfit, is let's at least look at your goals. Let's at least look at, is this strictly about economics? And if it is, perhaps peak shaving or going after the expensive on-peak energy is a better economic outlook than trying to go after all the 5 cent off-peak energy. So it's changed over the last 4 or 5 years quite a bit.
We talk about the on-peak a lot. You know, if the filling station at the corner is selling gas for $5.50 a gallon, 3 hours a day, but they're selling it for $3.50 the other 21 hours a day, when are you going to fill your car up?
Right.
Exactly.
Right. It's exactly the same electricity. Yeah. It's the same volt. It's the same amp. It's the same watt.
That's right.
But they're charging it when the demand is highest, under the long-term plan that, hey, if we can get our consumers to take the peaks off these high summer afternoon demands, we can postpone building another Palo Verde nuclear plant, build another hydroelectric dam for a generation.
Correct.
Right. We can postpone all of that if we can lower, because they've got to be prepared to handle the peaks.
Correct.
Just ask PG&E.
Correct.
Right. Yes. I think there's out in California, they're up to 86 cents, I believe is the number. And that's 86 cents for their peak.
Wow.
So that's kind of, I think that's correct.
Yeah.
But that's where we see a trend happening coming this way. So just getting ahead of that.
Yeah. I mean, APS alone just this year got approved by the ACC for about a 10%.
It was.
Of it is on peak.
It is.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, there's an argument why that makes sense, but that's also an argument for why you should consider solar, because it's a great way to take those peaks off. But when I get the solar system installed, am I going to see us? And so it's installed. I've got my city inspection made. The utility company's made the inspection. It's activated. Am I going to see a savings the very next month?
Certainly. Yeah, you're providing real electricity to your house. A lot of folks have the paradigm that it's kind of going right out to the grid and you're getting credit for that.
Right.
Well, whatever you don't use in real time does go back to the grid, but you're utilizing that real electricity in real time if your house needs it. So you're certainly offsetting real costs.
So you're seeing savings as soon as the switch is turned on.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yep.
Let's talk about how many different ways, because this has changed. And we've had to change what we advise people. And you know, we may not have time to get into it right now, but I want to talk about all the different ways you can fund having the equipment mounted to your house.
Sure.
Because there's lots of options there.
Yeah.
Right?
Absolutely.
I can buy it.
Yeah.
I can lease it, which we have told people for a long time, don't do it. but there was an argument with raising interest rates.
Right.
Where it made sense to lease it because the finance packages interest rates were so high, so it's confusing. But I want to tell, and then there's the TPOs.
Yeah.
So let's talk about all the ways you can fund the equipment being bolted to your house and activated when we get back after this short break. We're here with solar experts from Rosie Certified Sun Valley Solar. It's Sam Dunbar and Bobby Burnett, solar designer integrators that can answer any question you might have about should I even consider it? And if I am considering it, what are the dimensions? What are that I have to consider? What are the steps that I take? And one of those is how will you fund it? We'll cover that right after this short break.
Sunshine came softly through my window today.
All right. Watch your nosebleeds. We're up high on Rosie's soapbox today, this hour. On the solar industry and things about the solar industry that really chapped my hide. So we're here with two guys that know the solar industry well enough to protect you, the Arizona homeowner, from being caught in the dirty black web of the solar industry. It's Sam Dunbar and Bobby Burnett from Sun Valley Solar, and I'll just set the stage here. The thing that aggravates me about the solar industry is a lot about the way it's sold. And folks, homeowners, hear me out. If you haven't asked someone to come to your house and give you a solar assessment, I will tell you, you can assume you are being overcharged for a system that isn't properly designed. And that is my real heartburn with how the solar, because yet they have door-to-door people that go around and convince you and sell you, whether you are looking or considering for it or not, that you need a solar system. They generally come in with a proposal that's overpriced, and they sell it to you, and then they turn around and find a solar contractor that bids on that, and they give it to the lowest bidder, and they pocket the difference. I'm not off base there.
No,
I mean, we're hit with this complaint about the solar industry every week at Rosie on the House. So if someone wanted Sun Valley Solar out to their house to do an assessment, how much would that cost?
It's free. It's free for us to come out.
Okay.
And do it.
And what number would they dial?
It is 480-689-5000.
Okay. You get a, and that's if you're interested and you want to consider it. A lot of things to consider. And one of the things to consider is how will I fund it? Mm-hmm. And that's changed over the years.
Absolutely.
You've been in solar for a decade. You know, 15 years ago, you really only had one or two options. Yeah. Now you've got plenty. Talk to that.
It used to be pull it out of your bank account or go to the bank and get a loan. So leases came along years and years ago. And that became like the primary mechanism, short of cash, to get solar. And then leases started to morph into things that weren't as consumer friendly as they were when they first originated. Then the solar loans came out, which kind of mimicked a lease, but you were buying it to own it versus just renting it, which is what leases are.
Right.
So the solar loan and then morphed into multiple kinds of loans. And to me, it's always been, forgive the analogy, but I think it's a fair one, it's kind of a nutshell game where you could get a really low interest rate with a higher fee, higher origination fee, or a really low origination fee with a higher interest rate. So make no mistake, these entities aren't out there loaning money for free. So your 99% interest rate came with some catch to that, right? So you as the consumer are making the best decision for you on, are you looking at the lowest possible monthly payment, then you might go with a higher origination fee and a low interest rate and get a long, you know, have a low monthly payment. And there's not a necessarily unsavvy approach if you want to start out with a monthly payment that's lower than you're already paying anyway. And conversely, if you'd rather pay it off sooner, then maybe go with something that's got no origination fee at a higher interest rate and just pay it off sooner and you're paying less interest. So there's multiple ways to go about it, for sure.
And you assess that without the – I mean, you can manipulate those numbers a million ways.
Sure. We don't – and we're very open book about it. We don't – manipulate the customer. We show them that the banks are the ones manipulating the customer. And we're just here to show you how that all.
I didn't mean to infer you manipulate. No, why not? The industry can manipulate those numbers a million different ways.
Sure, sure they can.
You know,
that's a roadblock we run into.
It has to be
with our competitors, definitely.
I mean, a second example is a repeat of a customer of my remodeling company called me, and she said, "Rosie, a man walked to the side of my house, opened the electric panel, took a picture of it, came back the next day with a solar proposal, and this is a 1,800 square foot, three bedroom, two bath home, and the proposal was for an excess of $90,000.
That's a new one.
Yeah,
I haven't heard that yet, but over the past year, we've heard
it was. I mean, it was well over $10 a kilowatt. And what should a homeowner see in not the battery, not the Tesla wall, none of just for a photovoltaic array on there? I'll say it's a 10,000 kilowatt system.
Well, before we'll tell you the price for sure in just a second. But there's
just a round number.
So the round number is going to be somewhere between $3 and $4 a watt.
I hope people heard
if that company. And there's some. It's very easy to get lower once you start skimping on the things under the hood. Or if, for example, you're not carrying a roofing license, which this Registrar of Contractors in the state does not require solar companies to have roofing licenses, and most of them don't.
That's right.
And that's something that I was at a house literally yesterday that was installed not all long ago by a competitor. We were there for batteries, and they had roof leaks. And they had roof – so – and he said, well, I've tried calling them, and I can't get them to answer and find out they went out of business. And we run into this constantly where the things under the hood, like the way it's connected to the roof, to do it right costs more money. But it saves so much money down the road should you have a roof leak. The drywall, the potential mold litigation, the damaged precious items, maybe like a homemade table or a painting on the wall, something that is maybe irreplaceable can be lost that way. So those are all parts of the cost of a panel system. It's not just the products on the roof or the inverters on the wall.
Absolutely.
And we see a lot of solar companies going out of business, probably, you know, definitely in the construction industry. It's one of the highest trades for turnover.
It is the highest trade for turnover.
And you probably have better insight, but I think a lot of people look at it as this is easy, you know, and solar is actually pretty complicated.
It's an electric job and a roofing job rolled into one in most cases.
Yep.
Yeah.
I mean, even the big guys are gone out of the market.
Solar City's gone, and of recent, Sunrun's gone. It was the biggest after Solar City. So the two biggest in the world, literally
couldn't,
in the world,
couldn't stay in
gone.
Business.
They're gone.
In solar in Phoenix,
right? Exactly.
On the House Hour here, Rosie on the House, talking about one specific element on your home, castle, or cabin. And today it is solar-related. We've got Sun Valley Solar Solutions in studio. And, gentlemen, let's talk about how solar specifically works. You know, you put the solar panels on your home. Is it providing solar to your home? Is it providing solar to the grid? I mean, you mentioned net metering. I mean, your solar is first tied into your meter before it's tied into supplying any energy to your house.
Correct. Let me take it.
You got it.
So, great analogy is water. The electricity's, think of water in the river. When it lands in a little stream, it makes it to the river, which makes it to the lake, which might make it to the ocean at some point. When the electricity is coming off your roof from the panels, it lands in your panel, in your service panel, your service entrance section, SES, electric panel, whatever you want to call it. They're all synonymous. Once it's in that service panel, it's got two ways it can go. It can go into the house and be utilized by your appliances, or it can go back to the grid. So let's say there was 10 kilowatts of solar coming off the roof, but your house only needed 8. The 8 that was needed by the house would get sucked right into the house, and the other 2 would go back to the grid. In other words, electrons don't – they're pretty dumb. They don't think in terms of, hey, I think I'll go out to the grid and fight traffic going the opposite direction to make a U-turn and come back to the house. They literally go the path of least resistance like water does.
But those 8 kilowatts are still recorded by the meter.
Correct.
To record how – to offset your electric bill from the utility provider.
Correct. Yes. You get what's called a bidirectional meter when you get solar, which measures both incoming and outgoing. Where right now, if you don't have solar, you've got only an incoming meter. You would have one that measures both if you get solar.
And if you only have solar, we'll get into the add-ons, the battery walls, the backup generators, the developments that come by. If you just have solar panels, when the power, you have an outage, that solar, is it? It's not operating at all.
No. No. If it's just solar.
Right.
No. Because we can't have an active energy source pumping power possibly to the grid where guys are actively trying to repair it.
Because remember, it's touching your meter, which is also touching the grid. So there's a potential to backfeed to the grid, which could potentially harm a utility worker.
So if just solar, if you want to be able to continue to use your solar electricity in an event of a power outage, what addition do I need to add to my solar system?
Batteries. Batteries are the only way, typically. Or you could do a backup generator, but we primarily focus on battery backup.
And at that point, power's down, you know, the solar's down, the home's using the backup batteries. Will the solar recharge the batteries even if the grid's down?
Yes. So we'll physically isolate you from the grid. So basically, you're your own little power plant, in a sense. So if it's middle of the day, your house is running off the solar if the grid is down, and then any excess that the solar produces is then sent to your batteries to charge in the event of a long-term outage. So you can use that, the batteries at night.
And what kind of investment am I jumping to now from just a solar system to an upgraded battery wall?
Sure. So a distinction there to make is the transfer switch gets introduced. So when the power goes out, the transfer switch automatically and instantaneously turns you over to backup power. So your solar and your batteries are now running things. So the short answer to what's it cost? It depends on your goal. If the goal is strictly about erasing a 3-hour window, say your APS, and you just want to erase the 3-hour window, and that's your goal, it is strictly kind of a monetarily driven objective. Is I just want to erase my 3-hour window of on peak time. That won't be outrageous. That might be, let's say, 20,000 in batteries, and after the tax credit, you're down to 15,000 in batteries. So a return on investment, fairly quick if you're erasing quite a bit of on-peak energy. If you said, hey, no, Bobby, my goal is I want to be able to run my house 24/7, 365 in the event of the zombie apocalypse, that's going to get closer to maybe $70,000, $80,000. It's going to depend on what you want to run and how long you want to run it. And this is where professional companies earn their keep is calculating what appliances you want to run for how long, because this Train AC 5-ton unit, which is maybe a variable speed and much more efficient than Brand X that's not variable speed, those things have to be taken into account to calculate how much backup power you actually need.
And I know this is, you know, the question that comes next. If I go to that level, what's to keep me from just completely disconnecting from the utility company?
Nothing at all. Don't pay your bill for 2 months and you will be disconnected from the utility company. It's a myth. It's a myth that you're not allowed to be off-grid. You are totally allowed to be off-grid if you want to be. But there's really no reason to be if you're grid-tied. We don't discourage disconnecting yourself from the grid because you've got the benefit of that money, the credits, right?
Sure. Yeah.
But and the stability of the grid, there's something to be said for how stable our grid is here in the Valley. But there's nothing stopping you from doing it outside of your pocketbook.
Pocket.
Yeah.
And if you ever go to sell the home, I don't know of many lenders that will provide a loan on a house that's not connected to the grid.
Well,
we're always.
It depends on whether or not that home was built with the intent to be in. Like, there's a company in town that won't even touch a house unless it is totally off grid. So it's not against the law in Arizona to have an off grid home. It's just.
Was it designed
that way or not? Yeah. So again, we're not encouraging people to detether from the grid if they're already tethered. But if we've had plenty of customers that say, I want to be prepared. It's not our everyday customer, but we run into it often enough that we can't call it rare either, where they want to be able to sustain themselves in the event of a long-term power outage. Then we just go in and calculate what they want to run for how long, for how many days or months or years, and provide that prescription. And the thing about renewables, it is what it sounds like. It's sun's going to go down, come back up the next day and refill the batteries and cycle, repeat. And it's really not that complicated a formula for folks that do it on a regular basis.
That helped answer a lot of questions that have been coming in. Thank you for that explanation. So a couple other things. What if I have a couple people who live in apartments or condos who are interested? What are their choices?
Oh, that's a good question.
Sure.
So with apartments, you know, the typical, you know, floor-by-floor apartments that we see around the valley, those we're not going to be able to do solar on those just because they don't own the roof.
Well, we can't do them for the consumer that lives in the apartment. Mm. We can do them for the owner of the complex, and right. We have.
Okay.
But so there's a distinction there. The owner of the roof has to hire us. Somebody who lives in an apartment couldn't just put it on the apartment, but if they own the complex, they certainly could.
That's a good distinction. And then I just had a little testimony just popped up just to the solar, a solar customer. They say, we have had solar since 2017. It has paid off. On APS, 9 a.m. to they are on the APS 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. peak. They're grandfathered in. Mm-hmm. The most bills are about 35 to 40, and most of that is just fees. The highest bills in the summer are around 80, with two AC units. We were currently informed that we will need to replace the modem soon, but we love our solar.
Excellent.
That's great. That's a good story.
What does he mean by modem?
Yeah, that's probably communications for the monitoring system.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like think of it like the gauge of your tachometer. If your tachometer and your car stopped working, it wouldn't mean your car stopped working. It would just mean so the modem's just there to send data back and forth to register how much energy the system's made and things like that.
Well, again, I get a lot of calls and feedback. Rosie, why are you against solar power? So I just want to make it clear, I'm not against solar power. I've got two trusted experts here from Sun Valley Solar that do business the way I would do business if I understood solar, and I don't, so I depend on them. Sam Dunbar and Bobby Burnett, both solar designer integrators from Sun Valley Solar. If you've got a question about solar, you ought to give us a ring now, 1-888-767-4348. Get your question in now if you're considering it. So y'all don't charge for an analysis. If I'm considering solar, you'll come out and take a look. How would I get that appointment made?
You'd call our office. The phone number is 480-689-5000.
The story I told earlier of the house in McCormick Ranch, the reason the man was calling me so frustrated with another solar company was because they couldn't solve the real estate problem on the roof. They were, you know, what are some of the things y'all look at when you first pull up on the house? Where does the analysis start?
Sure.
Well, what I look for is where the service panel is, because typically we're doing, I would say, about 75% of the jobs that we do now are battery included.
Really?
Yeah, probably.
It's gotten a lot. And okay. That's driven, some of those folks are driven more by the backup power, but the majority of them, as they learn from us what the battery is really for in these cases,
okay,
is that it's about erasing the on-peak window. See, back in the days of net metering, when it was one-to-one, the grid was the proverbial battery, meaning stored your credits for you at a one-to-one ratio. It's not like that anymore. It's down to 7.5 cents with APS. So it makes a lot more sense from an economics level to store that solar power, or for that matter, even use cheap 5 cent off-peak energy and fill the battery up to use it to offset the 40 cent on-peak energy. So the batteries have come down in price. It's that It's that escalator. Sure. One's going up and one's going down. The price has gone down enough in batteries and up enough in utility for the batteries to make a lot of economic sense.
So you're going to find the service entrance panel.
Yep.
Okay.
What's the next thing? Yeah. So we've already looked at the roof.
Yeah. Okay.
So we've had it. We have a satellite image. Yeah. Okay. We know exactly every time. I know where the panels are going to go. Obviously, we see where the customer wants to put the panels, and then we give our professional opinion.
Right.
And then from there, we just go in and we look at their utility bills. We look at their demand. Another misconception with batteries is, I would say 95% of the people just they haven't looked at batteries. They think batteries are just for backup.
Right.
Which in Arizona,
there's still science fiction, you know.
But in Arizona, the backup, because our grid, Bobby said it earlier, our grid is stable. Right now,
you got to take your hat off to APS and SRP and TEP. They do a good job.
They invest back into the grid. But the backup portion is just the second benefit of you inherently get that. What we really are trying to do with, and this is where a lot of our competitors, you know, they sell backup. We sell on peak mitigation.
Yeah,
and flushing, just completely erasing your on peak.
On peak, you can pay as much as 24 cents a kilowatt. Off peak, it can be as low as 5 cents.
Yeah. So we
so it's exactly the same electricity selling at an 80% reduction in price.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. Correct. During the hottest parts of the day.
Yeah.
In the summer. So everybody's getting home from work 4 or 5 o'clock. They're needing to distribute the most power at that time.
Well, you got to start the oven.
Exactly.
The family's going to be hungry at 6:30.
Yes.
Right?
Yep. So it's – and that's where they – to keep people off of the grid, how do they do that? They raise the rates so they don't have to – so they don't use as much power in certain homes. But with our systems, you know, we like to face our panels west, south, and then discharge our batteries between, you know, 2 and 8 in SRP, 4 and 7 in APS. So the goal is you don't blip.
You think of the batteries as a bank.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you just make your electricity deposits all day long while it's cheap.
Right.
Yep.
And then you extract it.
And we call it guaranteed power.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, a few quick questions for you guys, gentlemen. Let's say with the introduction of the battery packs, do I need as many panels on my roof now? So, for example, let's say I had a solar estimate, and the way they were designed, you're trying to match your consumption. Like, you need 20 panels to offset this, but we can only fit 12 on your roof. Mm-hmm. So this doesn't make sense for you. Mm-hmm. Now, with battery packs, could I have that reevaluated? Maybe it does make sense.
Yeah. So I think, too, with the landscape of the utility company and the policy changes, with the buyback rate, Bobby touched on this a little earlier. If it's APS, whatever utility they're in, the buyback isn't what it used to be. So it's, I called them spaceships back in the day, where they we would put huge systems on roofs and they would bank credits and they would get a check at the end of the year. The days of that are gone, basically, and they're getting that buyback goes down year over year, and they're actually wanting to reduce it significantly this coming year. But now it's more, if we can only fit 12 panels, that's, and then we pair it with, you know, two batteries just to target that expensive power, and then just utilize the cheap off-peak power, which is oftentimes cheaper than solar. That's absolutely, that's where we would direct that specific house.
Rosie mentioned a gentleman a couple times this hour, and he's actually called in now, so let's bring Charles in. Good morning, sir. Welcome to the program.
Good morning.
Mr. Lewis.
How are you?
Very good, Mr. Lewis. Thanks. I started the show this hour by talking about you, but I did not mention your name. I did not mention your name. Why don't you, we're running out of time, but why don't you share your experience with Sun Valley Solar?
Well, first of all, the only contractors I go with are Rosie certified contractors, because the value over the price of the over the length of the contract has always proven to be greater than if I go with an next best alternative. So kudos to you. Sun Valley, I cannot talk highly enough about. Sam came out and did the original assessment and helped me through the sales contract. And then he handed me off to Stephanie Cantu, who, maybe you shouldn't say her name, Stephanie, who has just done a wonderful yeoman's job of keeping the project on track. I went with the battery pack because of my wife's medical condition, and it we just need that extra security. So I'm sorry, I went on and on, but I can't talk highly enough. They are consumer oriented. They know what they're doing, and they have a good quality product.
And you'd originally called me with a solar offer you asked my opinion of. You were considering the solar option. I said, don't do anything without calling Sun Valley. And I'm so grateful you did. Charles did actually call the office and leave a lengthy message about how grateful he was.
That's great.
That he met you guys. Yeah. So if other homeowners would like an experience in the solar industry like Mr. Lewis had, how would they do that?
They would just give our office a call. The number is 480-689-5000.
Website?
www.sunvalleysolar.com.
Now, question. Last one that we'll have time for. What about manufacturing? You know, when we go to air conditioning, that's one of the first things we start talking about with our partners. What equipment are you using? In the solar industry, are there multiple panel manufacturers?
Sure, there are. Just multiple panels, multiple batteries, multiple inverters, multiple all kinds of stuff. And the short answer on the panels is pick one that's monocrystalline, that's a manufacturer, that's been around for a while, that focuses primarily on that product or exclusively on that product. When you get into the products that make many, many, many different things, it's very easy for them to bow out of that particular line of business and maybe not be there to support it.
Bobby, Sam, Sun Valley Solar Solutions, thanks for spending your Saturday morning with us.